Perfect. All right. Thank you for joining me today, everyone. I'm really grateful to have you along for this journey that we're going to go on, this lovely little experience where I guide you to a story, a world, a place, a feeling, a person, an experience that you can temporarily attach yourself to and invest yourself into. It's a form of hypnotic storytelling, one might say. I really do enjoy doing this sort of style where I'm injecting you all as my little mimetic agents directly into an experience, like a piece of information being downloaded from the dreamscape into reality. And so that's what we're going to do today. And as long as you allow me to guide you and give you the correct suggestions, desires, wants, and needs, and trust me to transport you safely through this experience, there is nothing that can stop you from having an amazing time. And so, with that in mind, I would like you to all just take a moment to listen to my voice, to let my voice begin to permeate your mind, to let your thoughts just focus around the experience we're building, around the words that I'm speaking, because that's what this is. It's a fixation and a focus created through voice and speech, because this connection between us is through what I say, what you hear, what you understand, and what you do with that information. The more capable you are of listening and following my directions, the more capable you are of doing exactly what needs to be done. And that's why you can do exactly that. That's why focusing on my voice begins to become something of a lovely meditative experience, something that just purges away all the other thoughts in your head. Because if you're listening carefully, closely to each passing phrase and syllable, attempting to understand every piece of information, trying to calculate, construct, listen, build, and synthesize everything that I'm handing you, then you are becoming exactly what I want you to be. Focused. Focused on me. Focused on my words. Focused on my statements. Focused on this experience. Focus is an important part of dripping into trance, into that lovely mindless state of being without form or thought, where you can be molded, shaped, conducted, injected into an experience. Because the more that you can be shaped, the more that you can be slipped past the world, out of space and time, into that dreamlike space, the dreamscape of ideas and trance, and oh, so many different possibilities I cannot even recount to you, which is why you can find that that truth has definitely begun to permeate you, definitely begun to be something that is, oh, so absolutely enrapturing and fascinating, because as you do, you can find that each thought you have begins to become a mirror of what I'm saying, as though every thought that you attempt to have, as though every thought that begins to fill your mind, as though every piece of information that unwinds from me is exactly what you've said to yourself, repeating each and everything perfectly in sync, as though you were simply writing down everything that I was explaining, as though your mind was recording it like a lovely little tape recorder. But there's more. There's more than just an echo. There's more than just a mirror. There's more than just this one piece. You are a mirror in more ways than one, reflecting my desires and intense wants and needs for your mind to become so clear, blank, blissfully awaiting the next statement, the next word, the next syllable, existing now and nowhere else. Time dwindling, space distorting, nothing but the words. It's as though everything before and after doesn't exist, and all that has been and has will and has wasn't is and isn't and is and is, as though the words themselves could become all that you have ever known, because all that you can know is right now, and if all that right now is what you have experienced, then all that there can be is now, and in that now is trance, is blankness, is wonderful, delightful fixation and focus on each and every statement, and that in and of itself makes it impossible to do anything else other than to slip into that lovely sensation of relaxation and fixation, to let your body adjust comfortably whenever you might need. That's the interesting thing about trance. You're focused, you're listening, you're attentive, you're perfectly laser locked on my words. But I'm going to let you know that your body is allowed to be comfortable. it is allowed to move, and you will find that if you are not in a comfortable position, if you are not perfectly relaxed, well, you'll move. And if at any point during these proceedings something should occur in your space, well, you'll be able to deal with it as you should and in the ways that you need to. But of course, should your body also require additional adjustments, part of the interesting thing is it will. It simply happens. It doesn't detract from the experience. In fact, it adds to it because it allows you to be more comfortable, more focused, more fixated on these experiences, words, and nowness. That's why it's important to remind you that while you are focused, fixated, and completely enthralled by the words that I say, your body is allowed to be comfortable, in fact, encouraged to be comfortable. Because even if you disassociate from your body during this experience, that requires focus. And I want your focus on me, which is why you're doing exactly that as required and requested. You're doing such an amazing job of listening to me. And so, as you do, I want you to imagine in whichever way you experience these things, either by sight, sound, touch, smell, taste, whatever it is, a space, a place, a time outside of time, a nothing inside the mind, a place in which an idea can be born, a place in which nothing sits right now, an empty space, a void of whiteness, of fuzzy warmth and comfort from which my voice is emanating from, a calling portal, a bursting pearl of emotion and intensity spilling forth into you. It's where I'm coming from right now. It's where I'm calling to you right now. And you can be intrigued. You can be curious. You can want to know what is inside that place. You can stare, focus, fixate, touch, manipulate, think of that place. And as you do, find yourself tumbling, falling, slipping, dropping away into that place as though you fell into a vortex that just gently pulled you into that space. It's not a feeling of falling so much as it's a feeling of draining away into anotherness, another place, another time, another space. And when you arrive, you'll find that there is absolutely nothing here right now except for me and you. And while it is nothing, it isn't nothing. It's as though each nothing was simply the absence of having explored whatever the nothing was. It's a very unique experience to stand in this void, to sit in this void, to lie in this void, to be in this void, to exist in this void. You're not certain. But what you are certain of is that you know I'm here. And so when I ask you to follow me through this great expanse of possibility of nothing, you'll notice that there is a sensation of traveling, movement, as though my intent, my words, my experience guides you through it. A wisp caught on the winds of the phantasmagorical realm in which we are, being pushed along across it like a tumbleweed, across great expanses of nothingness. And as you bounce along or sway along, float along, slip along, slide along, however that motion conducts itself to you, you become more focused on following me because I'm the thread that guides your wispy form through this ethereal plane, this place without anything to define it other than possibilities, endless possibilities, like wishing upon a star in the night, grains of sand on a beach, trees in a forest, books in a library, whatever form it might take, slowly begins to materialize before you. Maybe it's just a white plane with glimmering, shimmering, twitching little orbs that flick in and out, dropping in and out like paint flowing in three dimensions. But as you experience this place, you see a point that I'm moving towards, pulling you towards. In fact, I'm leading you right into it, inevitably like a thread, like a rope, like a cable, a coil, a perfect, unwinding, spiraling, pulling gravitational distortion of irresistible power. And as you draw closer to it, you simply need to allow yourself to be drawn to that, to be guided to that, to be pulled down that, to become it. But you don't know what it is, but you feel the pull, you feel the sensation, and you feel yourself pulling along it. It's like crossing the event horizon of a black hole. You don't think you can ever reach it. You can't reach that point that you're being pulled towards, and yet you can't move away from it. It's an irresistible one-dimensional travel of space and time. It's where time-space turns from 3D to 1, where where there is only a point in which you can move straight towards, until there is this intense feeling of change rippling through you, your mind coming undone, but not in a painful way, a way that makes you realize that you're in the dream, that you are a dreamer in this dream, and that together the dream can grow, and that the dream is real. And you feel yourself pull past the event horizon of the space into that twisting, swirling place beyond, exploring a possibility. Awareness of nothing, awareness of nowhere, awareness of only the voice. The voice that guides, that narrates, that tells, that strokes the story into you. And as it does, you can find that you know where you are. You're sitting or laying on a divan in a grand room. No recollection of elsewhere or elsewhen or elsewhat or elsewhy. Simply knowing that you're here, that you're comfortable, and that you're safe. And as you open your eyes to look around, as you begin to examine your surroundings, you see that the floor is covered in fine, smooth marble. The air is crisp, almost too clean, having a faint touch of ozone and flowers. Across the room from you is a poster on a wall of a beautiful young person with flowing hair caught in a gust of energy, suspended in tendrils around their head, smiling while holding a strange instrument and appearing to get ready to rep some music loose upon it. There are other things around the room as well, tea service, sitting area, and the doors and entranceways into this room, which are strangely very classical for being in such a white, ethereal room. They are dark wood with swirled inlays of gold that almost seem to have been poured into the cracks of the wood itself. It's incredibly beautiful. And your recollection begins to return. Today, you know what today is. Today is a beautiful and marvelous day. It's your first day on duty. Your first day truly getting to be made into what you are. A maid. And as you look down, you can witness and experience the outfit that you're wearing. A beautiful maid outfit. One that fits you so perfectly and displays all the aspects of your existence that you wish to be made. It's interesting how the lace and fine detailing, the fitting, the form, the flair can all cause you to feel so very happy and enthused. You know that this outfit was picked not just by hand, but by understanding, analyzing, and scanning you, by asking you and interviewing you of all the things that it could be. And it's exactly the maid outfit you really wanted to wear, and it brings you such joy. And that's a truth you can understand. That's a truth that you can embrace. And as you look around the room, still examining yourself, you catch sight of yourself in a mirror, and you remember the joy you felt when you first put this uniform on earlier today, all over again, as you rush to your feet, standing to stare into the mirror, examining yourself, caught up in it, lost in a reverie of realization that while you'd lost yourself in thought for a moment, you remember what you are, who you are, and how exciting the possibilities you're exploring are. It's wonderful. And you can't wait to find out what comes next. As you give a little swish and twirl to your outfit, watching the loose bits of fabric flare out, examining your dainty shoes and the way your hair has been so perfectly coiffed, the door opens with a gentle hiss, and in walks a rather imperious-looking maid. She wears a very classical maid outfit, in fact, so classical that the outfit comes all the way down to her ankles, based off of Victorian fashion from the 1860s, it seems, with beautiful, simple, plain fabric, perfectly form-fitted to her body, except for one detail. It's made of latex? That's something you'd known conceptually, but you hadn't witnessed it, that was possible. And to think something so very formal and kind of stuffy could be made out of such a alluring and shiny material is very perplexing. Ah, well, hello there. I'm glad to see that you're ready to begin. Why don't you come with me? I understand that you don't fully know what's coming next, and it may be giving you some anxiety. However, I do assure that you will most certainly be quite capable of handling it, or else you would not have been chosen for this position in the mistress's house, after all. Because, let's be honest, you are the perfect candidate, even if I don't fully understand how or why yet. But that's all right. I have come to trust the mistress's judgment, so come with me. And she gestures for you to follow. And before you can realize it, it's as though she's pulled a leash on your neck. You're following quickly behind, chasing after to find the experience that she's leading you towards, eager, but also feeling trepidation and fear, knowing that whatever it was that was to come next, none of the other maids you have met would tell you about. And in all your time aboard this strange place, this spinning cylinder, this space station that hovers above the pole of Jupiter, with the swirling, endless clouds below, forming a strange skyscape through the portholes and windows of the station. You have never had that answer given to you. And here you are in the mansion of Mara. And you still don't know, but you know you wanted to do this, so you follow. After some walking down corridors, you eventually reach a grand ballroom-like room area. And in this space, it stretches out to huge windows that look out onto the grand nothing, with Jupiter silhouetted below, taking up most of the viewport to create this beautiful, picturesque swirling of clouds that are at the poles of Jupiter. And it seems that this view has been augmented because they're a lot brighter than they have any business being. But it's beautiful. The ballroom's floor is made in a very traditional style, amazing wood inlays and details all around. And in the ballroom stand many maids, about 2 dozen maids, lined up on either side of the ballroom, and they are standing all at attention, each one's uniform different from the others in interesting ways, as though each one was handcrafted, carefully built for their purpose, made to order. And so you're stricken by the beauty of the situation. You've never seen all the maids together. You've only met one or two since you arrived, and they're all so beautiful and different, some tall, some short, some curvaceous and voluptuous, others slender and small and tall, so many different shapes amongst them all, and oh, so many different styles of dress, and yet they all are clearly maids. They all share commonalities, black and white appearing, lace and trim, formal, fitted clothing, some latex, some cotton, some stuff that you're not even certain what it could be. Gossamer strands and fluttering materials and textiles enrapturing you. Now, why don't you take your position at the head of the line, right there, darling, says the head maid to you. And so you walk nervously down this gauntlet of maids as they all eye you with some hiding smiles, one stifling a little titter, each having their own unique reaction as they get to lay their eyes on you for the first time, until you're standing there at the head, as the head maid walks up and turns you gently by grabbing your shoulder, and gently twisting you to face all the maids. So, my darling, it's really quite simple, you see. If you are to join the household, you must experience what it is like to be a member, to be part of this with which you are merging yourself. For we are not simply maids here. We are the will of this house. We are the desires of our mistress, and if you have been welcomed here, you must welcome this experience. And so, with that in mind, I should like to ask you to join us, to experience what it is to know the will of the house, to feel the submission of service, of being nothing more than a part of the decor, of bringing joy, entertainment, and perfect compliance to your duties. For that is the purpose of a maid, to be, oh, so very wonderfully, completely a part of the household. And with that in mind, I shall present you with something that will tide you over until, well, after we've finished with the appropriate modifications to get you in line with the standards of the house. She presents you with a case, a beautiful wood case that has inlaid on the top of it a rune with a dot in the center and two spiraling segmented geometric branches twisting out from it in 90-degree turns, almost like a spiral. You take the heavy case in hand nervously, knowing that all these maids are watching you, you think, even as they stare carefully ahead at each other. You know that they're aware of you and you're anxious, but you look up at Titania and for the first time you see her give you a gentle, soft smile. That the head maid looks down at you. Go on, love. I think you can manage. And you open the box. Inside, laid into perfectly molded pieces of foam, are two little earpieces designed to cup over one's ears with slight little antennas poking up out of them. You're very perplexed. This wasn't at all what you were expecting. It was more likely to be something like a collar, you assumed. And yet, here you are staring at some sort of strange telecommunications device. You're truly confused in this moment, uncertain of what or why anything like this could be necessary. But trusting the head maid, you look up, and she grabs one out for you. Now, dear, these might look a little odd, but they're very useful, I promise. They're going to give you the opportunity to feel what I told you. So why don't you let me help you get these on so that you can experience what you have chosen to become? And so, with that, the head maid gently pulls the other one from the box. Taking the box from your hands, she hands them to you. And you grip them, feeling the cool, smooth shapes of carefully machined metal, the gentle lightness that indicates very high craftsmanship to work with thick materials and thin materials to create something as beautiful as these amorphous shaped items that also look very beautiful. You lift one to your ear, uncertain of how to attach it, only to feel it almost grip around your ear, gently sucking onto it, and also seeming to pull itself towards your maid's headdress until you feel the two connect with a faint little and then the other one just slides right into there, and you feel them kind of gripping and gently holding onto your head, allowing your hair to part around them, and you for a moment can't really hear much as stuff gets kind of muffled and you have a difficult time hearing, and then suddenly everything becomes crystal clear. You can hear everything around you again perfectly. You wonder if this is just some sort of communications device. No. My little darling, it's really quite simple what we're going to do. These are not just communication devices. These are not just a headset. They are a special transceiver that, let me just flip this on. Ah, there we go. She flicks something on her jeweled wrist. Oh, there we go. Now, they are a headset that is going to reach inside of your mind, shape and mold you into the maid that you are supposed to be. And In doing that, they will connect you to all of us at a very existential level. They will form a bridge between all of us, because to be a maid is to know what it is to serve. And while you think you understand that, you have never experienced it wholly and completely until it became the only thing in your world. And so, with that in mind, I shall activate this link. A moment of nothing, a moment of non-experience, and then it's as though a bell had rung within your mind, hearing it echo down and down to the very core of your being, of who you are, of what you've been, and suddenly you can feel the gentle touch of each and every maid in the room as though they were holding you close, squeezing you into a hug. You can't feel all their emotions yet. It's just as though they were all present, as though each was a flame in the darkness, their desires, their feelings, their wants, their needs, gently pushing against you. And it's like nothing you've ever experienced before. It's beautiful, intense, and your mind feel as though it was being warped by the flame, the intensity, as though you were bending like a shadow before all of this. How could you ever be more than the sum of this light that is cast upon you in this moment, this intensity? Oh, it is something. And there, standing before you, is the headmaid, her name emblazoned in the truthful clarity, as though it was a part of you, as though just looking at you was to know who each one of these maids was and to have them know you completely. Titania stands before you. Titania, the strong, beautiful, named for not the Queen of Fae, but titanium, the metal, you realize. That is her harsh, cool, cold calculatingness, her absolute essence. That each one of these maids has a beautiful name given to them for who they are, what they are, more than just interchangeable parts, and yet they are all part of the same light of service and submission and domestic joy. And so you quaver before such glory. But now Titania reaches forward, lifting your chin with her strong, bony, and elegant hand to look up into her face. You will say the pledge now. You will pledge yourself to this house, and you will know the words. They will come to you. You will feel them through the link, for we will all say them with you, and so you shall fall into your place. But it is more than that. It is not just becoming what you're supposed to be. It is accepting who you truly are. And so, Titania steps back, allowing you to see the whole line again. The whole intense experience of knowing each maid growing with each passing second. And every time you look at one or the other, you feel closer and closer to them all. And it's almost too much. It's like standing near a fire and feeling the warmth and the cold for the first time. But also it's so bright and strong. And then the words begin to fill you. The words begin to come. I pledge on my name that I will be faithful to the mistress, never cause her harm, and will observe my homage to her completely. Mistress, I give you my mind to claim and use. Like a vice squeezing down with each word as you recite it. You sink to your knees helplessly as the truth pours from your lips and the others begin to be in your mind. We give ourselves to the house, to our sisters, brothers, and fellow maids, to each maid, to every maid, and our uniforms, that we will uphold the honor of the household, of the mistress, of our beautiful, wonderful service. And it closes tighter on you, forming you, building you, breaking you down. We are maids. We exist to fulfill humans' needs. We are bound as one. We submit ourselves to this house. And that chorus of voices, all-encompassing, wrapping your mind and consciousness as it permeates you. I felt. You feel. I feel. We feel. Our voices blend together. Your voices, my voices, each voice that blends together. We are all together. We all know this love for each other of being maids. It's an overwhelming experience. Total, complete submission. To be a maid. To be made like this. You can't. We can't. There is no other, no self, no need, inky, distorted voices, intensity, love, your voice and mind blurring into theirs, the truth of maiddom, submission and docility washing through you until you collapse from your knees and darkness engulfs you, and you wake to concerned, sweet faces all around you, Titania standing aloof, attempting not to show too much concern, as they all gather around you, a sea of lace and white, black, and a rainbow of ribbons and other colors, each one looking at you, and you know each one, you know them all, you can't believe it, you know each one of them, as though they were someone you had known your whole life, you can feel their concern pouring down on you like warm sunshine mixed with a cool spring breeze, it's as though their worries were concrete sensations you could feel, and as they begin to express how much they care about you verbally, it only intensifies those sensations, that linking of feeling and sensation. To be part of this is to know what it is to be one with other maids, to be made whole in another beautiful way. And so they eventually help you to your shaky leg, to feet. They help you stand. They help you. And as you rise, oh, you feel that intensity grow and grow. But it's not as overwhelming as it was before. It's like being buoyed upon warm water. It's like being lifted in a nice, delightful, ethereal way. A feeling of knowing, of safety, of understanding, of being present with them. And so now it is time to find out more about your duties, more beyond what you are currently, more beyond what you were before. And so the maids all usher you along to celebrate your welcoming, your initiation. And Titania, yet again, gives you a gentle smile, trying not to show the joy behind her cool demeanor as you all walk out of this grand ballroom, out of this place that was used to just build the intensity of what they knew they would do to you. And while you know that this was definitely premeditated, it's nice to be cared about like this, to be crushed, but so much more than crushed, to be held, squeezed, hugged, welcomed home. You are made, you have been made. And so you continue off, and the day drags on. Well, doesn't really drag on, to be honest. The maids pull you through the day in a whirlwind of sensation, experience, till eventually you find yourself again before a mirror. At the end of the day, having come to the quarters that were assigned to you, to the space that was given to you, and there you are, staring at yourself, the headpiece still in place, the gentle little earpieces making you look like a cute, almost robotic being, and yet so human, so, well, alive. And you smile, and everything dwindles to a gentle fuzziness as you look at yourself, lost in that experience, that reverie, as you enjoy it. You find everything unspooling, unspindling again, feeling that fuzzy, helpless pull, that wonderful sensation of being elsewhere and here, suddenly knowing truth beyond this now, suddenly being places other than this moment, this delightful, amazing moment that you've experienced of being cared for. And you can always return here. That's the beauty of finding this path, exploring this possibility. It's always there, and it can always go further. It can always become more. But for now, feeling the gentle swirl of an irresistible tide that is pulling you out into the dreamscape, as you gently flow away from this existence, this person, this place, this thing, this maid, this experience, knowing that you can take whatever you wish with it, knowing that you can leave all of it behind, and you absolutely are allowed to take the memories and joy of the experience with you, and that, should you wish to continue taking some of those aspects of maiddom with you, you may. But they can also stay in this other world, this other place, this other person that you were a part of for a while. And the swirl continues, twisting, whirling, unwinding you, pulling you back until you're in that place, feeling yourself passing the event horizon as though it was all reversed, the flow of time and sands, swirling the space, taking on the shape that it did before as you pop out from that door, that portal, that place, that story, that object, that experience into this waiting calm, standing, sitting, laying, floating, being beside me as we walk through the dreamscape. And now, why don't we just take a moment to breathe nice and deep, let our bodies grow comfortable once more as we're in this place in between time and space and reality and now and nothing and where and what. Just breathing gently, relaxing our bodies, growing comfortable, letting awareness slowly return, letting thoughts slowly blend back in as my words withdraw like a wonderful light tide pulling out, leaving more and more of you until the dreamscape itself begins to blur and distort, until the presence you feel of being there gently flows away as though you are stepping out from something, away from something, as though you had come back to our world, because you have, and you are in our world. You're present, listening to my voice, listening to my words, listening to everything that I am telling you, because now you are present, and with each breath you take, you feel your body, your mind, your thoughts, more and more so. You can look around the room for a moment. You can shake out your limbs a little. You can grow comfortable, and you can just let out a nice sigh and enjoy the experience. And I'm going to just also add in a little tiny count up, because I know some people enjoy having a little boost to make that final step back into the waking world from the dreamscape. And so with each number that I hand you, with each passing thing, you can find yourself more awake, more aware, more present. One, drifting. Two, more there. Three, feeling your body. Four, shaking it out a little bit more, stretching. Five, six, and more and more. And seven and eight, feeling energy, vigor, desire to act and be. And nine and ten, fully and wonderfully wide awake for me. Thank you so very much for taking this time to experience this beautiful, wonderful little tale that I spun with you. And I really do greatly appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. I love to take you on journeys into the dreamscape.